So we'll have an extended sit there by Mr. Kusanko.
Thank you very much. What I want to talk on today is budgeting. And when you start off by asking for extended time, it doesn't bode well, does it? Most of our budgets will balance if we can have three times as much, please. Trying to prove I'm an expert in this is going to be difficult, but I think we have to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Judge me, please, on where I was and where I am now, not on my other skills. I want to talk about financial budgeting. In the church, we know we have to put God first. We pay God's tithe. God owns everything. By paying the tithe, God then allows us to administer the other 90%. It's easy for me talking now, after 35 years of marriage, after the mortgage is paid off, after the children have left home, but when we came into the church with the one child, with the new mortgage, budgeting was an incredible challenge. We did have faith in God, we did have trust in God, but as the head of the family, I was not issued with any wisdom. For example, at the first feast day we attended, we'd been told in the various interviews with the ministers that the Church of God does not take collections. So what an incredible situation to find sitting there, the morning service of your first holy day, attending God's church, they ask for a collection. Having obviously prepared enormously well for this, I had a few pounds in my pocket, which was the fuel money to get me back to our home. We were about 140 miles away. But having this incredible faith and new in the church, I put the money in the collection tray. I think it was a basket. My wife, I had made aware of the situation, and she said, well, but again, she agreed. We were both as clever, or the reverse, as each other. Amazingly, without the additional fuel, we made the journey home. I thought, I don't know why I've been worrying about money all this time. We obviously don't have to worry about money ever again. So about a month later, when we made a return visit, we were able to get services about once a month. I didn't make too much provision for fuel. I mean, on past experience, that wasn't a high priority. We got to within, I think, 5 miles of our home before we ran out, which I suppose was a miracle. Another miracle, we were going downhill, so we were able to park the car off the road. And another miracle, by then the one or the two young children we had managed to pick them up, carry them about 300 yards before we were given a lift by a complete stranger who took all four of us to the door. The next day, retrieved the car, put the fuel in it, never made the same stupid mistake again. Very long introduction. I'd better tell you the points I would like to fit in today if I use this time, if I budget this time wisely. Point one, we must always put God first. We're talking about budgeting. That obviously applies to every aspect of our life. The second point, know where our money goes. It sounds a ridiculous thing. You know, granny suck eggs, whatever you like to refer to it. Why are you making this ABC? I needed it ABC, and to start with, we must know where the money goes. It's amazing when people have huge incomes and they are constantly broke. People whose incomes far exceed anyone in this room, and they have no money. First, know where it goes. Third point, apply the percentage. I'll start again. Apply the percentage principle to all expenditure. Use the example God has given us with our second tithe. We have to save that throughout the year to be able to obey another command. about how we budget our time again. God orders us to save a tithe. We need to use that principle with all our expenditure. Find out where the money goes, divide it for the cost per year, and then a portion of each payday, whether it's 52, whether it's monthly, 12 times in the year, put the money aside to cover the expenses. That money does not belong to you. It is earmarked for the purpose it's intended. The next point, maximize your income. Don't rely on God. Work harder if necessary. Work smarter, certainly. We have to be honest about time. We have to be honest about our conduct. We cannot steal our way out of trouble. That would only get us into deeper trouble. Next, don't waste money. Again, it's so obvious, but we do. Don't waste money. Get wise counsel. Next, save. Plan ahead. Finally, do all you can in good faith. Then look to God for miracles. My family, through my lack of knowledge, lack of experience, suffered terribly. We lurched from one financial disaster to the next for years. Then Mr. Melvin Rhodes was posted to our area. He was on sort of rest and recreation, having spent a number of years in Ghana. And before he escaped to America, he had the privilege of serving us in the southwest of England. And he gave a sermon on budgeting, which is now over 18 years ago, possibly 20 years ago. My wife was saying this coincided with the time when Mr. Armstrong was putting the church back on the track. Well, we were put financially on the track for the first time ever. I don't have the chance to do that now, but what Mr. Rhodes did, he had studied what the average pay was for everyone then, which most of the church members probably were on less than average pay, national average pay, and he reduced everything to a percentage, as one of my points made. And he totaled them up, explaining how the tax has to be paid and then what the percentages are after that were worked out. And each thing was earmarked. What was incredible, and what really made me appreciate what Mr. Rhodes was teaching, when the total was added up, when all the percentages were added up, it came to more than 100%. Now, many people advised me on budgeting, but there's budgets always balanced. Whenever I worked at a budget, it was like this. There was more than 100% expenditure. I listened attentively as a result of this. Things do not always work out. When you are fresh, newly married, when there is a mortgage, when there are young children, your wife is not able to supplement your income, as possibly she was able to do before the children came along. We have these new responsibilities where our money is earmarked for purposes that God doesn't give us a leeway on. We need to save for pay the first time, save for the second time. There are offerings to consider. Mr. Rhodes recommended, and we followed ever since, was saving a small portion every week, reflecting what and how we were blessed per payday. And that helped enormously. Instead of just at the spur of the moment putting in whatever was to hand, knowing how much we had available for an offering, and not feeling guilty that we didn't empty our bank account. When you hear people preaching about the needs of the church, it's so easy when you are new in the church, so enthusiastic, to put in more than is expedient. Now, God will honour and bless these things. Be generous by all means, but use wisdom. If you are taking credit to put in an offering, that is completely wrong. God tells us to give of what we have. We have to have common sense or godly wisdom to apply and direct ourselves. Everything needs to be accounted for. Where we are spending. For a bit of encouragement, let's remember in Proverbs chapter 3, this is what God has promised us. I'm painting all the difficulties and the struggles, but this is the promise God gives us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. put so many bookmarks in my Bible, I'm turning to the wrong one. That's a good start, isn't it? To save time, I will now read through all of them. Wait a moment. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honour the Lord, honour the Eternal with your substance. One of the translations says capital. And with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. God isn't demanding from us so that we are reduced to abject poverty. God wants to give us plenty. By practicing his way of life, God gives us more, not less. Although at times in my life that was difficult to remember. And the reason I selected this one is possibly more to do with the next verse, next part of the verse. And your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now that is enormously encouraging for some people, particularly this speaker. We have a problem with the Western society where everybody is programmed to be greedy. It's a society based on envy, competitiveness. There's a frequent advert for cosmetics which we catch on our televisions. You owe it to yourself. You deserve it. You're worth it. Oh, no, you're not. Remember, in Proverbs 20:21, before we start singing that song from Fiddler on the Roof, if only I were rich, would it upset some vast eternal plan if I was just a small multimillionaire? Well, yes, I think it would. I think it would upset God's plan if we came by unnecessary wealth. Unless we have the means to control how we administer the finances we have, it would destroy our character. It would diminish the opportunity we have of being part of God's family. If we are not able to administer wisely what God has given us, it would destroy his plan and our part in it. Take warning from Proverbs 20:21, when we dream of these things. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, and who hasn't dreamt of coming into money? Just think of that house that we desperately wanted to buy. When we bought our first cottage, another £2,000 then, it would have been a £6,000 property, we could only afford a £4,000 cottage. The £6,000 property would now be in the £500,000 range. So, difficult not to dream, isn't it? But, here's the sting. But the end thereof shall not be blessed. Obviously, God realizes that being in possession of £500,000 worth of property is not the best thing for me at this time. No two budgets are the same. You have to be very careful about looking over other people's shoulders to see how they spend their money. You have to administer your money. Don't judge other people for the way they spend their money. Judge yourself by how you spend your money. Beware of spur-of-the-moment purchases. Those wonderful arguments that my wife have with me because it's on offer. But it's so cheap that we don't need it. I know, but it's fantastic value. But it's a luxury. And it works the other way as well. Of course, my wife says, I have just saved £100. How much did it cost? It was only £100. It was £200. Can I have £100 you've saved? Oh, don't be silly. You started it, beloved. We have to be so careful. In our society, millions are spent bilking us out of our money. When we got married, one of the fascinating things was credit was not so easily available. Our first house purchase nearly fell through because we could not raise £50, which is derisory that. But it nearly all, the whole stack of cards, all neatly stacked up. This was paid, the survey was paid, something else. The solicitor decided another £50 was needed. We'd used everything we had. We cashed everything, we borrowed it to the hilt. £50. Went into the bank. You don't tell us that you want £50.
Oh, don't I?
Everything will fall apart if we don't get this £50. They finally gave it to us. Now, it's the reverse. You want £50? Have 500. Have 5,000. You know, I don't boast because I cannot afford to use it, but I carry credit cards, and with my wife's, our instant credit is like £10,000. But we couldn't finance that credit. So it's not available, even though if a moment's madness overtook the pair of us, we could put ourselves into hock. £10,000. No one there to stop us other than our own consciences. And hopefully the little bit of godly wisdom we've put together. When we've saved some money, don't look upon it as a challenge of what can we spend it on. With the running expenditure, with the developing the budget, like the tithe, when you have so much money in the bank, don't think in terms of that as your money. Remember, it's going to go for this bill, for the next bill. I'm not saying that we do what Granny did and put money in separate envelopes, but use the same principle. Put the money where it will gain interest. Don't hide it under the mattress. Don't put it in the pots, the jam jars, which is what we grew up with. That's how people dealt with it. We can actually put the money on deposit in the bank. We can let the bank let the money work for us, but it's not there to be spent on other than what it was set aside for. Don't do what that lady did in the program I watched a couple of years ago. They rationalized their debts, all the credit cards, everything that they were hung out with. They borrowed money to pay it all off. With the £9,000 between borrowing the money and taking it to the finance companies, the lady passed a used car sales showroom. There was a £9,000 car. There was a £9,000 cheque in her possession. All the good intentions of rationalising the debt ended up with another £9,000 debt. Well, apply that with if you are able to accumulate money, remember what it is for, what you are using it for. Having my wife rationalise my notes has been an enormous help. I've got 2 pages or 26 pages. Which one shall I work for? What Mr. Rhodes did by showing that we do not have the money we require is we have got to focus. We have got to prioritize. You get rid of the foolish, frivolous, vain expenditure. Just think how God has helped us. We're not allowed to smoke. Difficult for some, but we're not allowed to drink to excess. Ladies, you needn't spend that £100 on face makeup. You can save that as well. And just imagine those ladies that have these makeovers, you know, a £100 hairdo or whatever, an £80 set of cosmetic brushes. I mean, who would be without these leather encased things? Paramount, isn't it? Just imagine if they smiled, it would achieve far more than this haughty expressions painted on their face. A lovely, healthy, freshly washed woman with a good heart and a good attitude who can smile at the appropriate times. You cannot buy that beauty. Certainly can't paint it on. The honesty of and decency that goes with that. We have to do everything we can to balance our budget. But there will be times when it won't add up. Don't give up. Don't despair. Don't try and use retail therapy to make yourselves feel better. Buying an extravagance only makes the problem worse. Remember, we are obeying God. He wants us to learn to trust on Him. He won't do what we are able to do ourselves. He will not reward irresponsibility. He tells us to be generous. So be hospitable. Share the little you have. Just remember the example in 1 Kings 17. I won't turn to it. The widow who Elijah was sent to during the time of dire famine. That lady trusted God, trusted Elijah, and fed him. And for many days, and the side reference says a year. They had enough food for one meal. That meal lasted the year. We need to apply that. When we were not as wealthy or not so well off as we are now, we were always able to entertain people in our home. They may only have had cheese and biscuits and a cup of tea, but we were able to share our space and time. And many people who were far more prosperous than we were, people who are the sort of age we are now, but they may have been childless. And what we had in spades were children at the time. And amazingly, people who could enjoy them as surrogate grandparents for a few hours actually seemed to enjoy them. Now I'm a grandfather, I realise what joy there is in grandchildren. Just the pain you go through first with the other shower is the problem. Got lots of scriptures here, I wonder what they all apply to. We will not be able to make all of these bills, but use your mind and pray to God, trust in God. With that budget, we worked out on the basis of my salary. My wife, who did not have a regular income, was able to supplement things or rent things. Often we were managing on what my wife could make at a fraction of the shop cost. Car boot sales. There may be things that we are holding. We are feeling desperately short of money, possibly, but there may be a garage full of stuff that is of no good to us which can be sold off. Think about the things that we can maximize. God has blessed us with unexpected amounts of money. We've not had the huge inheritances, but money has come to us at times when we desperately needed it. He has been a master of timing. I have not been resting on faith as I should do. My wife is always much better at the faith that God enjoins on us. I always saw the fact that it was my job to earn the money. Well, it's God's job as well. We're partners. Now the children have left home, of course, we can let out a room to a lodger. And, you know, when you don't have the little dears to support, there are other ways of using their space to make additional money. That wasn't available to us when the children were young. But there are all these ways of finding things. Don't be called out. Don't be bilked. Don't be cheated. We are not allowed to cheat other people, but we need to have the wisdom not to be cheated. A neighbour recently was advised to replace her roof. There's nothing wrong with her roof. She did have some water come in, but it was a blocked parapet gutter. There was a wall in front of the gutter, and the water that is collected doesn't go down a normal drain pipe, but it goes down a much more constricted space before entering the drain pipe. That was blocked, so the water collected in the gutter and then found its way above the lead and down into the house. But it did not require a new roof. It required the obstruction being removed. Remember, we live in an evil world. Don't be panicked into expenditure that may not be necessary. All problems arise. We have to allow in our budget for replacements. If we own a car, it will break down at some stage. It will need to be serviced. We have to allow for that in our budget. We have to allow to replace the various goods. In preparing this sermon, I terrified myself by just writing out the various appliances. When our family were young, we didn't have a majority of these things. They didn't need to be replaced. The dishwasher was whichever child was due to do it. They were never very efficient, I noticed. It was rather expensive with breakages. So God will see us through. Mr. Rhodes showed us we must save ahead. We must not give in to spur of the moment purchases. Buy when things are at an advantageous price, good, Mr. Billingsley and Mr. Bowles both recommended during the Iraq crisis that we increase the amount of food we hold in the house. Not extravagant items. I did recommend to my wife a rich plum pudding, but she wouldn't go for that. So. Sorry, that's a euphemism for Christmas pudding, of course. It was just basic food, rice, some flour. Obviously, you have to be very careful with how much flour you store, because it can spoil. But bottled water, things like that. They were not high expense things, but we had some spare money, and we put aside a small amount of things so that we can survive for a short time. This isn't always possible. We weren't able to do that always. Things are different now. The mortgage is paid. For you that are struggling through these things, God will never let you down. If you keep faith, God will not let you down. There will be the miracles. There will be those 140 miles on a few petrol vapors. But don't rely on them when you have the opportunity to prepare to do other things. Put God first. Know where your money goes. Develop wisdom. Apply the percentage principle to all expenditure. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22, shows us how we should save that second time. Maximize our income. Look to the ant, you sluggard. A son shames the parent when he will not work. There is always a reason not to go out. We might meet a lion in the street. We might. Pretty unlikely in Gloucestershire or Devon and Cornwall. There is always going to be an excuse where we do not feel like work. There will be the pains, the aches. But normally they can be all worked off. Work therapy is far more reliable than retail therapy. Work hard, but work smart. Don't be a fool. Don't be taken for a ride. If you need to change your job, you have the opportunity, change your job. Save, plan ahead. Don't think that money you have is a challenge to spend. It's already spent, actually. You're just waiting for the bill to come in to match what you've saved. Do all you can in good faith. Then you can rely on God to fulfill his part of the partnership.